Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank God today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We thank God for this beautiful Lord's Day. The only wise God. Jude ended his book in the 25th verse. It's a beautiful prayer, the 24th verse. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen. And so God is the only wise God. He is the only wise God. Why is God the only wise God? Because the other so-called gods doesn't have any breath, doesn't have any life. God created the materials that they were made from. And men, foolish men, made them to worship them, but they have eyes, cannot see, ears, cannot hear, mouth, cannot speak. They have a body, but no spirit. So the only wise God, the creator of heaven and earth, Genesis chapter 1 and 1, hallelujah, glory to God. And in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, the heaven and the earth. And so God is the only wise God. He's the creator, the mastermind behind the universe, the mastermind behind heaven, behind everything that dwells therein, the heaven, the earth, and the sea. And so we give glory to the only God. Not only is he the only wise God, he is the only God. There is none beside him. And we thank God for his presence in the person of the Holy Ghost that's with us, the guide, hallelujah, the teacher, the comforter that's here for the church in this hour. Praise the Lord. We thank God for the Holy Ghost. And we know that it's only been made possible by the Word. And in the beginning, John 1 and 1, St. John 1 and 1, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And we understand that all things were created by him. Praise the Lord. And without him, nothing was created. So all of this wonderful treasure of salvation came about by the blood, the precious blood, by the price of blood, that precious blood of Jesus Christ. And it is him, our God and Savior, hallelujah, that we worship. It is him, the author and the finisher of our faith, that we glorify, that we exalt, that we love. Hallelujah. All power in heaven and in earth was given to him. And in him dwelleth the Godhead bodily. Praise the Lord. We thank God so much for our Heavenly Father, the sovereign God, the mastermind, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And hallelujah, sending to earth in his absence, in the absence of Christ, is the precious comforter, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He is the Lordship of the church to exalt Jesus Christ, the Word. Praise the Lord. And so to the only wise God, of course, that's who we come before today, the church, the bride of Christ. Hallelujah, that is being prepared. The bride of Christ, all the born-again believers. This is not about going to church. This is about preparation for that great marriage supper, for that wedding day that is to take place at the end of all times. The bride of Christ will go to meet the groom. Hallelujah. And there will be a great wedding. Hallelujah. You have an invitation. Praise the Lord. So we are in preparation, getting ready for that day. So everything we're doing today and the message that God has sent to us today, the word that God has sent to heal us today, is all in preparation for a healthy bride. Hallelujah. For a healthy, clean, holy bride. So the word comes to clean us. The word comes to heal us. And the word comes to establish us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We just want to thank God for his word as we open our ears and listen to the word of God, the ear of our bodies, the ear of our spirit. Hallelujah. As we open the eyes of our minds to see what God is saying, catch the vision. And we open our wills, our hearts, so that we can obey what we hear today. Praise the Lord. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Romans chapter 13. And we will read the 13th verse as well. But the 14th verse is our key verse that says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So in verse 13, it says, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. There will be another time for the Bible study. The first three words, let us walk. Let us walk. How do you walk? Spiritually, how do one walk? Not by the mobility of the feet, but you walk. You walk with your thoughts. You walk with your thoughts, the thoughts that's in your mind. That's how you walk. Let us walk. Our thoughts do the walking. Our thoughts do the walking. So we're going to unpack that. We're going to simplify that as we go into this verse here, the 14th verse of Romans chapter 13. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean? How do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you put on an act? Do you perform? How do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? None of the above, of course. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, the focus ought to be to put on Christ. And there is a warning. Make no provision for the flesh. Give the flesh no play. Make no provision, because the flesh is the opposition of the order, the instruction to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The flesh opposed that. What is the flesh? The carnal mind, the carnal thoughts, the feeling of the body, the emotions. Of course, the seat, the soulish man, the selfish man, the fleshly man. The carnal thoughts, the natural man, and the natural nature is the flesh. We were born in the flesh, the natural nature. And so don't make any provision for it. In other words, don't make any place, don't provide for the flesh to be activated, or the flesh to be acted, or the flesh to have action. Make no provision. Suppress the flesh. Reject the flesh. Suppress it. Don't give it any room. Don't give it any space. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh In other words, do not think to fulfill the lust. Because with the flesh has lustful desires, or lust and desires that wants to be met, that the flesh wants to be fulfilled and want it to be met. The word of God is telling us to suppress those feelings, suppress those emotions, suppress those carnal thoughts, suppress that, give way to the word of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God teaches us Jesus Christ. The word of God is Jesus Christ. Obey the word of God. This is how you put on Jesus Christ, the same way you walk in your thoughts. So you put the Lord Jesus Christ on in your thoughts. The scripture that says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, what you think, you end up becoming, you end up doing. So if you put on the Lord Jesus Christ in your thoughts, in other words, start thinking the way of the word, or the direction the word is leading you into. The word of God is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path, that shed a path for us to walk. And so the word of God is that burning lamp, and we ought to walk in its brightness. Praise the Lord. And so how do we do this? How do we walk? We walk with our thoughts. We walk with our thoughts. Let us walk. You walk in your thought. Your thoughts travel years ahead of where you are. Your thoughts travel. Walk out your life in Christ by your thoughts. This is what the scripture is saying. Walk out your life in Christ by your thoughts. Because naturally, our thoughts are years ahead of us. Your thoughts travel. Only fools, or the simple, or the unlearned, live day to day. They don't know what they will be doing tomorrow, the next day, the next week, or the next year. They have no plans. They don't know what they're going to do. You ask them, so what are you going to be doing next year by this time? They don't know. It's either a fool who don't know, a simple person, perhaps less deliberate than a fool, and a naive person, or an unlearned person who has never been taught to know better, to do better. And so, but the wise, the prudent young man that the book of Proverbs was written for, the sensible young man who doesn't ignore the book of Proverbs, the sensible young man who make Proverbs the addiction of his life, because it's a book full of wisdom, that he can live his life without making grown men mistakes. If he adhered to the word of wisdom in the book of Proverbs from the wisest man, King Solomon, the sensible young man, young boy, ever since he can read, whose sensible parents and wise pastor hand them that book to read as a life lesson. The wise mother who gives her young son Proverbs to read, to study over and over and over until there's nothing left to glean. Because it's a book that structures the life of a young man. And if you don't see the importance of that book, it is because you are unlearned, simple, or becoming swiftly a hardened fool. As early as a child, teenage, to young adult age, life is lived wisely. The thoughts of life is being mapped out. The wise man, or the wise young boy, the wise young man, and we category the age brackets childhood, teenage, young adult, they have already mapped out their retirement years. So see, the thoughts travel years ahead of you. There are sensible young boys still in school, elementary, junior, middle age, high school, that has already mapped up their lives. They already know what they want. And they're only pursuing what they want. And what doesn't add to it, they are rejecting and not engaging themselves in. They're only engaging themselves in the thing that will help them build their lives around the thoughts that they have already mapped out for their future. So the wise young man, young boy has already prepared for his retirement. Life is not an accident where you live one day at a time. Life is not an accident. A wise person planned out their life. Their life is already planned. Their retirement years is already established. They already know what they want, what they will have, what they won't have. Their life is already established through the prudence of their minds, through the wisdom of their minds. They have already established through the maturity of their minds. They don't have time for games. They don't have time to play. They don't have years to waste. They have already planned their lives out. Life is not an accident that you stumble into. Oh, maybe I'll have a good life. Or maybe I'll do that. Or maybe I'll do this. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Life is not an accident. You don't stumble into good things. You prepare for a good life. Your thoughts are powerful. They go ahead of you to establish the path or pave the road you must travel to reach your fruitful end, the end that you have already determined. And I must submit to you that I have not done this. I was not taught this. But thank God for the intervention of Jesus Christ. Through salvation, you can redeem yourself. You can be redeemed. So for you who are getting this at a good old age, the world may not be here that long, but we are here to occupy until Jesus comes. So as long as the world is here, here's wisdom that God has given you. Know that God is always speaking to his church. God is always speaking to his flock, the flock of Jesus Christ. If you are uncircumcised, not born again, an unbeliever, God is not talking to you. You cannot inherit this. Only if you decide today to become, to belong to Jesus Christ through the born again experience, godly sorrow worketh repentance. Repent of your sins and forsake all of your sins, yourself, your aspiration. Deny yourself, take up the cross and follow Jesus. Only then can you inherit this. You can claim it and name it and claim it all you want. You will still be void of the inheritance of Christ. This is only later for the children of God that are born of God. And 2 Timothy 2 and 9, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, you don't have to take a DNA to find out. Hallelujah. You shall know them by their fruits. Praise the Lord. Life is not lived by chance. Life is not a chance. You must use your thoughts to map out your life. Walk. You walk by your thoughts, the way you think. You put your thoughts together to walk out your life. To map out your life. You must use your thoughts to map out your life. So when a wise young man has mapped out his beautiful life for himself, a wise young man has mapped out, while the fools and the simple boys are clubbing and looking for women and sexing around and getting disease and throwing away their money after females and lusting feelings and just wasting their living, rioting and spending on unnecessary things, that wise young man is studying his book. That wise young man is working hard and saving his money. Don't have money to waste on himself or female, because he's saving for a beautiful, peaceful life. I'm talking about putting on Christ. That wise young man know that to be made whole, he is a son. To be a husband, he needs to have everything a husband supposed to have before he gets married. So he knows that he needs to have a savings, a great career, a great job. He knows that he needs to have a good retirement. He's planning on having children. You don't just bring children in the world and wonder how you're going to take care of them. You plan for them. You plan how much, how many, and how many you can take care of. You make plans. You plan your house, how big it's going to be. So you need to have these and to be debt free as much as possible. So you're getting ready. You want to be a husband. In God, there is no dating. There's no boyfriend and girlfriend. In God, there is marriage. So the son prepares himself as a husband. Then when he is completely prepared as a husband, being able to provide for the wife that he intends to marry, his peace remains, because in life, there is peace. And you want peace, always peace. Because the Prince of Peace has come in our lives, in our hearts. So he will not bless you with anything before he blesses you with peace. That's why we have salvation. So why are we going to do anything to disturb that peace? So this sensible young man, after he has mapped out his beautiful life for himself, a beautiful life for himself, now he thinks of the second step. So you map out your life first. Then the second step is to find a wife worthy. Worthy. Say worthy.
Worthy.
To share that beautiful life with. See, if you don't have a beautiful life, you don't care. But when you have a beautiful life, now the Bible says, he that findeth a wife. A wife is not a married woman. A wife is an established daughter who has already been instructed and prepared and groomed as a wife. She's a wife before she's married. She's different from women. There are many women. Among women, there are wives. Trained. Another time for Bible study. trained by her father, trained by her mother to obey the voice of authority, which is her father. She doesn't obey her father. How is she going to obey you, a strange man that she's married to? So later for Bible study, trained to obey the voice of authority. Yes, women, obey your husband. Yes. I know, I understand. So the second thing a man does after he has gotten together all of his treasures and have stamped that in his mind, this is what I'm working toward. And in my retirement years, I want to have a peaceful life. I want to be able to travel. I want to be... Now, the second most important thing is to find someone to share those treasures with. When you are marrying a woman, just to share expenses with, you will have to put up with, you will have to deal with all the rest that she is not. Always remember that. You have a motive because you need someone to help share your bill. Isn't that amazing? That's what relationship has come down to. That's what marriage has come down to. Oh, in the meantime, we'll have some children because I have some beautiful names and I'd like to use them. When you marry just for a financial situation, or you marry just for a sexual situation, remember you have all the other things about this woman to deal with. And I hear the women saying, well, we have to deal with him too. Well, by law, the man approaches the woman for marriage. You don't have to say yes. You can do your own investigation to see if he has a penny in the bank and find out how he treats his mother and his sister, if he's an obedient son to his father. And if all of those is all of those are dysfunctional, then why would you marry him? You will marry into a dysfunctional family. Whether he has illegal criminal activities in his family, whether he does it himself. You need to do your own homework. Is that the life you want? So then when you marry into it, you don't have anyone to blame but yourself. So remember, sons of God, when you marry someone which is not the will of God for his children, that's worldly things. You come to God now. When you marry, you don't marry like the world. Now you are looking, you are searching among women for a wife. In Christ, his sons are wise and are fully instructed and rooted and grounded in the order, in the law of God concerning his life, in the laws of God concerning every area, every aspect of his life. A man's life according to God is fully prepared in every aspect and on every level to take on his wife. Your life is built up. You have to be perfected as a son and disciplined as a son, mannerly, obedient, respectful, knowing how to resist the temptation to be disrespectful and disobedient, knowing putting those spirits to death. As a son, before you can go to the level to perfect being a husband. And then after you perfect being a husband, you get married. Now that he's in the driver's seat, so to speak, what is the driver's seat for a man? The driver's seat is you have done all of your homework. You have worked hard, saved your money, no clubbing, no frolicking. You will focus while every foolish young man doing what they're doing and thinking they're having fun and all getting all tied up and yoked up in sin and spirits, demonic spirits that won't let them go, getting caught up in drugs and drinking and womanizing and sexing. You are paying attention. No doubt being a virgin. Keeping whorish women away from you and focusing on building your life and building it quickly so that you can get to enjoy it. So now that you have mapped out, you've walked into your future by your thoughts and your future is all set. You already know what it's going to be. It's a pattern. Then now you can think about finding a wife to share that future that you've mapped out for yourself. This puts you in the driver's seat. Now you don't have to bargain with a woman. You don't have to bargain with a female. You know what you are looking for. He's not looking for a sex partner, like most people are looking for a sex partner. Any woman can be that. She can come with the sexual skills, or you can teach them. How better than teaching her your way? Than what other men throughout her years have taught her. You're not looking for a sex partner. He is seeking for a wife that he will be delighted to share his mapped out, treasurable life with. He is looking for qualities in this woman that will not only give him pleasurable joys, but will also give him peace. A woman who will be a good steward over his goods, especially his finances. Not a wasteful, vain woman. A shopaholic, an idler. He is looking for qualities in this woman. He's looking for qualities in this woman. He's not looking for beauty. He's already been warned, Proverbs 31 and 30. Favor is deceitful. And beauty is vain. And in the world today that we live in, from my own experience as a woman, I'd like to just give you heads up, young men, that lots of mannequins walk around today. So don't think everything you see is real. And I will allow the Holy Spirit to magnify that to you. He is seeking among women a woman that fears greatly the Lord. Because this woman that fears the Lord, because of her fear of God, will give up her wifely riches in spite of feelings, in spite of arguments, in spite of what family members think, in spite of situations, circumstances, and condition. A woman who is a wife and will become a nurse to you when you are sick and not hate you or despise you because you are ill. Because you have something growing out of your back, she would not scorn you. She would become your best nurse. And it goes the other way around as well. But let's just keep it the Lord's way. The woman that fears God will become your greatest cheerleader, will become your greatest. Father, I just thank you. Friend, this woman will give up her wifely self. She will become your closest partner, your comforter. She will feel your pain in spite of your behavior. She will always be a wife, and God holds you accountable to love her. Because God says, husbands, love your wife. You are not to speak ill to your wife or mistreat her or take advantage of her weakness to love you. Because that's the weakness that God cursed women with. In the book of Genesis, he said your will be towards your husband and he will rule over you. This wise young man is not looking for a woman that has riches and money. Not looking for a mouthy woman to rule over him. Some men are weak and they want a woman and making this and making that. Then you become the little boy who becomes the little maid, who becomes the chauffeur, and who becomes the yard man, and who becomes, and you are reduced from husband to the utility man. He is looking for a woman of a sober mind. A wise woman builds her house. A woman that is wise, that is prudent. A wise woman that builds her house, that blesses her family and encourages them. She builds them up. She encourages them. If they're wrong, she won't insult them. She would wisely correct them and show them a better way. She builds them up. She encourages them. She blesses her house. She blesses her husband. She praises her children. She encourages them. A woman of a peaceful spirit that knows only how to generate and spread peace. He's not looking for a sex partner who's just a fool. The only good thing they can do is in bed. A foolish man marries that. A man who's ready to perish, who doesn't have much to live for, marry into that. A wise man is not looking for a foolish woman who only knows how to tear down her house by cursing them and discouraging them. But it's looking for a woman that fears the Lord, a woman that's quiet and peaceful, a woman that's thoughtful, a woman that thinks well of her family, that always thinks to provide for a family. Read Proverbs chapter 31. All that this woman, this virtuous woman did in Proverbs chapter 31. You don't think her husband got angry at some point? You don't think her son got angry? What does one thing have to do with the other? This is my family. This is her family. She labors. She toils over family. She doesn't complain that I have to do all of this, all of what? Look what the woman and the virtuous woman, the work that the women did back in the day. Now, men marry into women and don't even require them to be able to cook. Why? Because they're blinded by lust. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You're so engaged in the lust of a flesh, or your flesh, you're both flesh, that you don't even care that she can't cook, she cannot iron, she cannot wash, she cannot keep a house clean, she cannot keep a house, she don't know what it is to be a good steward over money, she doesn't know what it is to organize the pantry, the linen closet, she doesn't know all of this. And then after you marry her, you fussing at all of this. You didn't marry her for all of this, you married her for the bed. She's good in the bed, then be satisfied with that. That's what you married her for. Now she is so upset because you're fussing about all these things that you didn't even care about before. All you care about that she was an excellent, skillful bed partner. Now, after all that flesh has died down, I told you any woman can give that to you. After all that flesh has died down, now you realize there are things that concerns you that's more important than the bed. And now you are stuck because you did not map out your life. Now all the peaceful life you spend your whole life mapping out has ended up on a battlefield. Wars on, fuss and disagreement. You did not, because the choice you made was not made to match the life you mapped out. It was not made to fit in with the peaceful life, peaceful retirement future you mapped out. You ended up settling for the distraction, the sexual distraction. You were distracted and detoured. Now your life is upended. Husbands, love your wife. Love your wife. Caress her. Hug her. Let her lay in your arms while you caress her. Let her fall asleep in your arms. Let her be able to trust you as you expect to trust her. Care for her. Take care of your wife. See about her. Make her special. Make her feel special. Make her feel that she's the only thing in your life as she should be and is. See about her. God said he is jealous. God doesn't need you to go to a doctor when Jesus Christ is. He doesn't need you to go to another man for help. He doesn't need you to go to a lawyer when he's your defense. Or you don't understand. Would you like your wife to go to another man to get some help? Would you like your husband to go to another woman to get some help? Well, then God wants your undivided attention. Brothers and sisters, you have just been shown how to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and the danger that opposes that peaceful end. Be watchful. Strengthen the things that remain and are ready to die. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Proverbs 4:23. Keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God bless you.